Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, finally today, AT&T and Time Warner are merging to create a new media giant. And giant is the word because a federal judge has okayed the $85 billion merger. It may not be making everyone happy, though. And to find out why, let's go to Hiawatha Bray. He's tech writer at the Boston Globe. Hello, Hiawatha. How are you doing?
Hello there.
Okay, so let's talk, first of all, a little bit about the specifics of this merger. I mean, AT&T, Time Warner, two giants in their own right. So what's this going to mean for consumers?
Well, that's the odd thing, and that's why the judge ultimately ended up signing off on the merger. Because actually, traditionally here in American antitrust law, the kinds of mergers that get shot down are the ones where one company wants to buy another company that's basically in the same business.
Right.
Remember when AT&T wanted to buy the cell phone company T-Mobile, they said, no way, because that'll mean we have three major phone companies instead of four. They said, we're not going to allow that. AT&T wanted to buy Time Warner. Now, AT&T is a telecom company. You know, they have cable, broadband, all that stuff. Time Warner makes TV shows.
Content.
They make
yes.
movies.
The marriage
exactly.
of content and delivery.
Ta-da! In 2011, a similar merger between Comcast and NBC Universal went through with hardly a hitch, although there were some conditions placed on it. And if you look at the result of that, it's very hard to see any evidence that consumers were harmed in the least by it. There was no reduction in overall competition. What you did have was a much bigger company. And that's the thing. Donald Trump, when he was running for president, really did start making a lot of populist noises about the sheer size of a lot of American corporations. And that's what bothered him about this. That, of course, there's also the controversial assertion, never proven, that he was also mad at CNN, which is owned by Time Warner. And he was trying to kick them in the slats a little bit.
But it really
hurt him.
To be fair to the Trump administration, I mean, the president said the merger is not good for the country. They tried to actually block it because they believed it would hurt competition in and increase costs for consumers that stream TV and movies. So, I mean, obviously, Judge disagreed, but
their own economist said that at most it might raise the cost of cable for the average American consumer by $5 a year. And that, of course, was a speculative theoretical estimate. The other side said that's just not true. But either way, if that's the worst impact it's going to have, the judge basically said, you know, I really just don't see that that's a good enough reason. And the judge basically not only did not agree, but refused to issue a stay of his ruling, which is something you do to give somebody a chance to appeal. That was his way of saying, don't even waste your time. This case is going nowhere. And so it's basically over. And now all these other giant media companies are going, hey, green light. And they're off to merge. And it's weird because some of the other mergers on the table are the kinds of things
right.
that antitrust has traditionally regarded with great suspicion. Now, the bidding war that just broke out between Comcast and Disney over the movie and TV production assets of Fox.
Fox.
We're not talking about Fox.
Right.
Not Fox News and things like that.
No.
We're talking about the company, the part of Fox that makes TV shows and movies.
That's right.
You know, like if you look at Homeland on Showtime, that's actually made by Fox. That
yeah.
show is made by them. They want to buy those assets, both Comcast does and Disney does. But they are already huge makers of content. And if you were going to look at something and say, time for antitrust, this would be it. But some people think that because of what just happened, nobody's going to dare to take them to court. I'm not convinced.
If I don't know about that
Department,
either. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not convinced. If I'm the Justice Department, I'd take a really close look at that one.
Well, I mean, because for what you just said, in the case of the AT&T Time Warner merger, we have ostensibly two giant media companies, but with different core products. But I mean,
well,
if we're
not just ostensibly,
yeah,
it's totally different.
Yeah. So, but let me ask you though: in the age of the loss of net neutrality, is that an issue here? Because if we have, like you said, we have AT&T Time Warner, we have Comcast, NBC, like. When we have the distributors also controlling the content, you know where I'm going with this. Shouldn't we be worried
sure.
as consumers for that?
Well, the judge looked at that, too, and he said, nah, not really. And I agree with him. Because, all right, all you got to do is ask yourself one obvious question. Okay, I'm AT&T. I own now all the CNN and the HBO and everything. I'm actually going to tell the people at Comcast, you can't look at CNN anymore unless you pay me some extortionate rate that we're not willing to pay, and CNN gets taken off of Comcast? That would be insane. First, you'd have the government all over you, and secondly, you'd lose hundreds of millions of dollars. There's no good reason to do it. There's just no good reason. The most they might do is try to edge up the price a little. They might try that.
Scale that across the hundreds of thousands / millions of customers they might have, and even a small price differential means big bucks in the end, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But how much this is the whole argument. The government's own economist, who is making the argument you're making, said that at most it might be $5 a year for consumers. And of course, the other side said, no, that's not true. It would be virtually nothing. And of course, you have the case of Comcast, NBC Universal. And as far as I know, nobody's shown any substantial price increases. We actually have a real world example. When Comcast bought NBC Universal, did they then go out and start radically jacking up the cost to AT&T of showing NBC shows? No, they didn't. Hmm. It just didn't happen. Hmm. And so it's very hard to see a business case for doing it because it would be hugely politically controversial and because you'd lose. Think of the money they'd lose. They lose the advertising revenue. They lose the retransmission rights. They'd be losing millions of dollars a day doing that. It'd be crazy.
Okay, I'm still going to give you my skeptical on that one.
Yeah.
But last question for you, Hiawatha. I mean, so we're having this conversation because people were raising, who did not want this merger to go through, antitrust questions, as you talked about before. You know, I mean, the United States antitrust law dates back from well before the age of the internet. Do you think the very types of businesses we have today mean that we ought to actually revisit whether or not the antitrust laws adequately take into account the modern day industries and technologies and businesses to take a look at?
I'm glad you're asking that question because I do think so. I don't want to give the impression, just because I have no trouble with this particular merger, that we don't have a real problem. I don't know if you've noticed, but my newspaper, the Boston Globe, just came out with an editorial saying, break up Google. I am leaning in that direction myself. Google and Facebook pose such a unique challenge to antitrust that it's time for us to really give some serious thought to what we can do about them. Because you're right, these are companies that they have a power that no business, in fact, they have a power that no government's ever had before. Mm-hmm. They have incredible power to decide what we know and what they know about us. They know almost everything there is to know about us, and they control what we know about the world. And that's never happened before. And that much power in the hands of two basically unaccountable private companies is a major, major problem. And you could make a decent case for a breakup.
Wow. Well, Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the Boston Globe, it is always great to have you, Hiawatha. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, and Paris Alston, with help from Cassandra Sunt and Priyanka Deo. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. That's it for today. This is Radio Boston.